Perhaps that's why we study. But if you've already dismissed this as striving about words, as a personal scruple, that's your choice. I'll just say, make a few more comments. There's an order to what Jesus said. He talked about a cause. First of all, he talked about a marriage. And you and I understand, for example, in the context of Matthew 19, he's starting with two people who are bound, who God has bound in marriage. That's who he's starting with. And he says in one case that fornication doesn't occur. But then there's a divorce. And then he says, if a man remarries, he commits adultery. And he says, if a woman remarries, she commits adultery. He said, in so few words, just by putting an exception in there, that if fornication does occur, if there's a marriage where two people have been bound, and fornication occurs, and then there is a divorce for fornication, then that man remarries and doesn't commit adultery if he remarries. Those are the things we need to stand on. And how we can add anything after that and put our finger on it with a book, chapter, and verse, I do not know. I haven't found it. Jesus didn't equivocate with the word divorce. He meant divorce. Whether it was for fornication or not for fornication. There's a divorce. And in context, the marriage was sundered. And there was consequences to that. And you know, I could use some human reasoning right now to maybe try to convince you about why that is. But I really don't know why. I don't know all the whys. I just know what it says. Someone just recently gave me a good one, a good reason why, but I don't even want to share it with you because that's human reasoning. Brethren, I think we can unite on what the Lord said and not on theories about what happens after a divorce. We can't say those things. They've been said, and we can't say them with book, chapter, and verse. There's no authority for it.